I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. After 20 years of strategic planning, funding pitfalls, and even a great recession thrown into the mix, Lenexa's City Center is finally open for business. Today we're broadcasting live from this suburb's new location for government and community. We'll talk with the mayor, we'll meet two entrepreneurs who have set up shop, and ask staff to compare their old digs with their new surroundings. With an 11,000-square-foot food hall city market, a community center complete with a pool you wouldn't believe, and even apartments, the mixed-use development has already become a gathering place for the citizens of Lenexa. After that, we'll wrap things up with this week's Local Listen. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. In 1997, a community visioning project was carried out for the city of Lenexa, Kansas. It focused on creating a better gathering place for residents of this city in northeast Johnson County. The plan built a high-quality, mixed-use town center that not only houses the city government, but includes places to work, live, eat, and shop through a series of public-private partnership. The result, over 200 acres off 87th Street just west of Renner Boulevard, that has seen a burst of construction that's brought that vision to reality. Today, Up to Date is broadcasting live from the upper level of the public market at Lenexa City Center. And joining me now is the mayor of Lenexa. That's Michael Bain. And so good to have you here, Mayor. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Welcome to Lenexa.
We probably should describe where we are right now, because I had no idea all this was going on. This is simply jaw-dropping. To my east is the district. It's going to be a retail, office, residential, mixed-use project. The library will be built to the south here, the Johnson County Public Library. There's a new 500-stall parking garage also there. Behind me to the north, a new Marriott Hotel, other housing there. Amazing.
It's been a great journey for us the last 20 years, and it's wonderful to see this coming to fruition.
I mean, how is the public reacting to this, Mayor?
I think our citizens are more excited than we are as city officials and staff. This is a vision that came out of the community. It's 20 years in the making, and we're watching it unfold before our eyes here in the last couple of years especially.
You know, it's incredible to me that you said 20 years in the making. You know, politicians these days don't stay with visions anywhere close to that long. You guys went through a bunch of bumps along the way. How did you manage to stick with this vision for as long as you did? Because it doesn't happen anymore.
Sure. I think it first starts with the fact this did come from the community. We listened to the community during the visioning process. They wanted a new downtown. We respect our historic downtown area. Old Town, though, is a very limited sits building place. We continue to invest in that, but for a community, a progressive suburban community that Lenexa has become, it's just really didn't fit what we need and what we need to project.
And the idea here is, I think you guys wanted a suburban center, a suburb that was different than the other suburbs in Johnson County. That was sort of the driving vision, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We just want to make a place different than a traditional suburban community. We actually optioned the ground, purchased the ground, and held it until we found the right development partner so we could bring that vision to reality.
What do you like best about all this, Mayor?
Oh, goodness. Seeing it come alive. I know a few months ago when Pokemon was a big deal, we left City Hall after a meeting one evening, and there were people in the parking lot, and we were kind of afraid, actually, because there was never anyone at City Hall before. You come out here now with the recreation center, with the public market, and the festivals and the activities we are having here. There are people walking around in the public space, which is so gratifying. We want it to be walkable. We want it to be a gathering place for the community, and it's happening. At this stage, we add the library, the new recreation, or the new Johnson Shawnee Mission School District Aquatic Center, more restaurants. This is just going to grow and gain momentum as we move forward.
Hey, so, how does the original vision for what you wanted here, how does it match what you actually have here today?
Well, I think there were probably hundreds of original visions when the community came together, and just as the governing body over the years has changed, we've had to bring new folks on board to the vision. In our mind's eye, everything was a little bit different. I think the district is going to be a classic example of what many of us just that, though. It truly is a vertical mixing of uses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon to have offices near retail and residential close by. The district, though, will actually have office retail integrated on the first floor and then the corner towers with the residents on top. So we're very excited. I'm very excited in particular about that aspect.
You know, your town, not a huge community, has invested tens of billions of dollars in all of this. And I'm wondering, as city council members came and went, if I understand right, by and large, those council members stood with this vision and sort of stuck with it all the way through.
Absolutely. Unfortunate circumstances, whether it was death, moving out of the community, taking new positions out of the community. I've appointed a number of folks over the years since 1991, so well before the visioning process. We've not had an elected official removed from office by the voters. It's a great track record. I think they trust us, and actually their visions we implement and they embrace. So it's been fabulous.
You know, just a final point here. Along the way, there was something called the Great Recession that occurred that really knocked you guys for a loop here and threatened to undo what you've been able to do here. How big of a hurdle was that for you guys to get past?
It was a blessing in disguise, actually. While the recession was going on, we had some folks come to us, developers that wanted to take the easy way out, change the vision, and develop more traditional suburban processes and facilities. We held fast to the vision at that point, had steadfast to that vision. Honestly, West Lenexa is in a much better place today than it would have been 20 years ago had we started this project at that time.
I was going to say, why did you build it out here as opposed to somewhere else?
This is the geographic center of our community from east to west and north to south, with 435 adjacent to Renner Boulevard. It provides great access to all of our citizens as well as the surrounding communities.
And Lenexa runs out west even farther than from where we're sitting right now.
As I said, geographic center. We run essentially from Poor Vera west to... I guess that's about a half mile west of Cedar Creek Parkway.
Yeah. So. That's Lenexa Mayor Michael Bain. And Michael, I know you got to go, Mayor, but thank you so much for your time. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Just to give you a sense of our location this morning, we've set up shop on the upper level of the public market, which has a complete chef's kitchen for demonstrations, events, and pop-up food vendors. We have a great view through the floor-to-ceiling windows of this place. Below us is the busy part of the market. You can get food and drink from a number of businesses here or pick up some flowers or a gift at others, and they all appear to be local. Two entrepreneurs who took the leap to be part of the Lenexa public market are joining me at the table now. The first is Jill McEnroe. She's the owner of Franny Frank's Coffee Cakes, which you'll find here Thursday through Sunday mornings. A sample of it sitting right here in front of me. I can smell it, and I'm getting hungrier by the minute. Jill, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Hi. Thank you for having me. We're really excited about this.
Alejandra De La Fuente is also here. She brings us her Red Kitchen tamales to the market every Tuesday, which means we picked the wrong day to be here, although our producer has provided me one right here in front of me. It looks terrific. Welcome to you, too.
Thank you.
Good. Well, you both have great personal stories. Jill, you needed a cake for your boss's birthday and turned to your mother's handwritten recipe book. What did you end up making, and what were the reactions, and how did you wind up here?
Oh, it's so exciting. I was a graphic designer in Kansas City, and I was really broke and needed a treat for my boss's birthday. So I didn't have enough money to buy a store-bought cake. So I went home and found my mother's handwritten recipe book, sifted through it, and found her coffee cake recipe. And I wasn't a baker, but I tried it, and I made a few.
How long ago was this?
6 years ago.
And you weren't a baker then, and now you've started the bakery business.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's a pretty fast trajectory.
Yeah, it is. And we're just flying by the seat of our pants, and we're so excited about this opportunity here at Public Market.
Let me just guess that the reaction to the cake that you made that day must have been pretty good.
Yes. Well, I had made a few. I gave a couple to my husband to take to work, and then I gave some to my boss. And within 10 minutes, he walked back to my desk and whispered into my ear, "You could sell those." And I thought, maybe I can. So about 2 weeks later, I found a commercial kitchen space to make my product, got permits, licensing, and insurance, and walked into Dean and DeLuca with a saran-wrapped coffee cake and a business card and asked them if they would try it. And they took us on immediately. So,
how long you been in business?
6 years.
6 years. Good yes. for you. Okay. Alejandra, I've been told that around here it's not Taco Tuesday, but Tamale Tuesday. Is this your first try at running a food business?
Yes, and it has been my dream all my life. So that's what I wanted to do, a taco truck or something like that. And I ended up doing tamales for the first time in January and with a friend of mine. And we posted on Facebook, we're going to sell it. And we had 1,000 to pre-order.
1,000?
Yes. So I called into my work and I said, you know, I cannot go to work. We have pots and pans in the grill everywhere in her house. We were making these tamales and we were like, we're not going to do this anymore. We have to say, we have to make, or we made like 500 or 400 or 5,000, and that's what we're going to sell. We're not going to pre-order like that on Facebook anymore.
Yeah. What made you think you could make a run of it with your own business?
I like the product. I love to cook. So I think when you put your heart in something, you can make it, you know. So.
And putting your heart in something when it comes to food strikes me as a pretty important ingredient to add to that food, right?
That's right. And I think in every home, the heart of your home is the kitchen. Everybody gathered there. I mean, everybody loves food. So, yes.
Now, you use the kitchen where we're sitting right now, up here sometimes, right?
Yes. Only Tuesdays, I sell tamales, and I've been doing this since the beginning of September. I talked to Carmen, and I said, I have a small business, kind of, so I wanted to sell. I had a full-time job, and I said, I cannot be there every day. So she suggested one day a week, but it's been like crazy. I quit my job last Friday was my last day.
Last Friday.
Yes.
Because this business is going so well.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And so when you make them right here,
yes,
and your customers line up here on the second floor of the public market?
Yes. We have a system now. The girls help me with the publicity and the menus. So we gather people in line in here, and they come and order, and we have pre-orders. So yesterday I have 800 pre-orders plus the people who came and buy tamales. So
you have, yes, 800 pre-orders for the tamales for this
week. For one day.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the ones I'm selling at lunchtime and in the evening. So I have to have at least another 400 of each just to sell in here. And I'm selling out. So
you're selling out. And,
yes.
And I'm going to take a bite of one of these, so my mouth's going to be full. So describe what it tastes like to us.
It tastes like home. It's just like spicy and I don't know, soft, and it's just chicken.
It is all of that.
Yes,
it's good. I like
it. It's homemade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jill is recreating. You're recreating your mother's recipes. Talking with your mouth full is a danger on public radio. Where did you get your tamale recipe?
Just with my friend. She gave me her Nana's recipe from Mexico. So we mix it between hers is the pork. And my recipe was the green and tomatillo sauce. So the dough is her recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you're not making your tamales here, where do you make them? You just make them here?
Yes, I make them here.
Right here in this public space?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have plans to get your own place, maybe?
Yes, here.
Here?
Right here, yes.
Right downstairs?
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, okay. Jill, what do you do your baking?
We utilize a commercial kitchen space in Independence, Missouri.
In Independence?
Yes.
So you got to truck everything over here then?
Yes.
Hey, can I ask how many cakes you make for a typical day here?
Oh, my gosh.
A lot.
Yes. We go through maybe 200 to 300 cakes.
200 or 300 cakes.
In 4 or 5 hours.
I'm just wondering, as the two of you sit here and you hear plans for what this city center space is going to be someday, I mean, the traffic and the number of customers is only going to grow. And I'm wondering, what does that make you think about down the road? You have a home here, perhaps.
Yeah, super excited. I used to live in Parkville, Missouri last year. I just moved, 2 years ago. I just moved here to Lenexa. And I feel like I moved at the right time because this is amazing. Every time I drive, I'm just like amazed all the things that are around here. Coming here on the fire pits in
right.
the evening looks super nice. It's just like, it feels like a big home. It just, I don't know, everybody's super nice around here.
I think
too.
The mayor would be happy to hear what you just said. That's what they want this place to be, a big home for people.
Yes, and it is. And you can feel everybody's nice. Everybody's excited because the rec center is amazing. My son goes every day to swim there. You see families everywhere, and I think people are super happy.
I just took a tour of the rec center, and you can't even smell sweat yet. It's so brand new. It's really pristine. Right. It's a great time to get in there. Yeah.
Yes.
Jill, what do you make of the future here for you and your business, given that we're only halfway done with some of the construction here?
Oh, it's going to be huge. It's already growing, and things are changing every day, and we see so many people come in here and walk around the space and visit all of the vendors. And that's another thing, is there's new vendors coming in all the time and it's always changing. So the future for Franny Franks, we're just excited to possibly get a kitchen space in this area so we're not driving almost an hour away, because that makes it difficult to keep up with demand.
I was going to say, you'd like to find a space around here then, it sounds like. And that's the whole idea of the public market downstairs, is that different vendors will be coming in regularly, so the mix of vendors is going to be changing from week to week and month to month going forward then.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Like that?
Yeah, we love that. We love to see new people come in, and you make new friends with all the vendors, and you know, you can benefit from each other off different things.
Tell me, Alejandra, what's the secret to a good tamale? What's the secret?
Just love. I mean, really, it's something that you want to do. It's like, and you enjoy doing it, and knowing that food is going to someone who's craving. Because when I say Mexican, everybody say, do you make tamales? That was the first thing they asked me, but I never did. So I think my recipe is just like, do it like, if you're going to feed your family, you know, with love and with caring. Yes.
And what's in this tamale? It's different than a tamale I might find somewhere else.
Quality and fresh.
Fresh.
Yes, very fresh. Like, I do it the day before I sell. So I don't sell anything like three days after.
You know, Americans think of Mexican food and they think of tacos.
Yes.
So why not tacos?
I do tacos too.
You.
Yes,
okay.
But we started with the tamales, yes.
But tamales are the ones that have caught fire out.
That's
here.
Right. That's right. And it's easy to take home. They freeze well. So they don't have to eat it right away. People freeze them. They buy by bulk and they freeze them, and then when they're hungry, they take them out and they text me and say those were wonderful.
So people come in here and buy a bunch and they take them home.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jill, how about your coffee cakes? What's different about your coffee cake than somewhere else that I might go to?
It's handmade.
Mm-hmm.
We're a family business, and there's only a few people that know the recipe, and it comes from my mother, you know, from the 50s of her standing in the kitchen with cinnamon smells all throughout the house, and it's just, you know, it's made with love.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you feel like you were gambling coming here, being something of the experiment as the first tenants out here?
I think there's always a little gamble with any chances you take, but this is just I can't even speak. I'm so grateful to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good experience, and it's really a great opportunity to any vendor, entrepreneur, you know, anybody that wants to be out here, because it's a good platform to showcase your product.
It's changed your life, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. Alejandra, how about you? Did you feel like you were gambling a little bit coming out here and being the guinea pig, the first person to begin selling downstairs?
I wanted to be.
Did you?
I wanted to be, yes. I wanted to be, and I was pursuing Carmen. I was actually bringing tamales to her office over there so she can try them. But everybody's been supportive with me. I mean, like, they're, like, amazing. They really are working, and they're helping me, and they're... I don't feel like I am alone, you know. Carmen and her team, like, they've been helping me a lot.
But it wasn't scary to be first?
No.
You just seem like you've got nerves of steel.
I feel like super. I wanted to be the first. I wanted to be here the first. Yes, that this is a great opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, you've said you've quit your job, your full-time job, to come out here and make tamales.
Yes, yes.
That's scary, too.
No, when you know that it's quality and people like it, it's not as scary.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I wish you both the best of luck as you continue your journeys here, and I think you've got a great space to be doing what you're doing. So thanks so much for your time.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
That's Jill McEnroe. She's the owner of Franny Frank's Coffee Cakes, which you'll find here Thursday through Sunday mornings. And Alejandra De La Fuente and her Red Kitchen tamales are here every Tuesday. Okay. It's time for a break. When we come back, we'll hear about the 20-year odyssey of making this vision for the Lenexa City Center into a reality. And we'll see what one employee thinks of her new workspace in City Hall. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. This morning, Up to Date is broadcasting live from the public market at the new Cine Center Square. Yesterday in the program, we discussed an inside-out approach to reducing neighborhood violence. Also, we looked at responses to a journalist's defense of NFL player protests during the national anthem. You can find those conversations at kcur.org. Tomorrow, we speak with a couple whose KC history collection is so huge, they needed a whole other house to store it in. Also, we'll meet the author of the Longmire book series, who lives in a town of just 25. That's tomorrow on KCUR's Up to Date. Well, I mentioned we're broadcasting live from the new Lenexa City Center. With me now is Becky Yoakum. She's the city's director of community development. And Becky, so good to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
And thanks for the tour this morning, too. I appreciate it. Well, you've been with the city for 20 years, first as an assistant city attorney before moving to your current job. But basically, you've been here since this project was born. What can you tell us, Becky, about where this idea came from and who was involved with it?
It's a really cool story, Steve, because the vision for Lenexa City Center came out of a community-wide visioning process that happened back in 1997, where then-Mayor Joan Bowman involved really people from all around the community to look at what they wanted the future of Lenexa to be. And one of the major pillars of Vision 2020 was that they wanted a new downtown and a gathering place for the community that was included mixed uses and had civic components and retail and commercial and entertainment opportunities. And it was very specific even as to location. They suggested this location here at 87th and Renner, which is in the geographic center of the community.
Now, I may be wrong, but I'm just struck by this idea that a suburb had a long-term planning process. Lots of suburbs, I think, don't do long-term planning.
I think you're right, and I think that Lenexa is unique in that regard. We've always been a community that looks ahead and tries to be on the forefront of things. And this is just another example of that. And we've continued to look into look at the vision from 2020, and we went back and did in about 10 years later a Vision 2030 to update that. And the mayor announced recently that we're going to do that again next year with Vision 2040. So Lenexa likes to look ahead and think about our future.
Now, I'm just wrapping my arms around what you've done here right now, but what might Lenexa be looking at in 2040? Do you have a sense yet?
Well, I think that we still have work to do in Lenexa City Center. This is what we're doing here is building a place. It's not a project, and it won't have a definite beginning and an end. So I think that you'll continue to see an evolution at Lenexa City Center, but we'll also continue to grow to our west, and we'll see a lot of redevelopment in some of the more mature areas of our community. So I think that we have a lot of exciting opportunities ahead.
I'm visiting with Becky Yoakum. She's Lenexa's Director of Community Development. What's the one thing that people wanted the most out here, Becky?
I think that the thing that we hear the most is restaurants and kind of entertainment opportunities. We have, as wonderful of a community as Lenexa is, we haven't had a lot of restaurant opportunities, and our residents had to go to neighboring communities. And so for years we would hear, bring us more restaurants. And so, you know, the public market where we are today is a great example, but we've got other restaurants that have opened and will be opening in the future. So that'll be exciting for our residents.
This was an ambitious undertaking, again, tens of millions. What was the financial plan to fund all that you've done out here?
A lot of the public improvements that you see, whether it's roadway improvements or stormwater improvements, were done through our capital improvement program. We always have a long-range capital improvement program and look at how to prioritize our funds to make those type of improvements.
Again, it strikes me as tricky, though, because Lenexa, how many people live in Lenexa, roughly?
Just about 55,000.
I mean, again, to do what you've done out here was a major commitment, and I imagine it could not have been easy all the time.
It wasn't easy all the time, but you know, our residents know what they want, and they have a certain expectation, a certain quality of life that they expect, and our governing body and city staff have always been really in tune with that. And so I think that we've always kind of worked to meet the community's expectations, and our community's hung with us through all of that, and I think that they're seeing the fruits of that.
I mentioned this to the mayor, but are you surprised that people hung with all this for 20 years? Again, that just strikes me as an unusually long time to pursue a vision until it finally is completed and open like it is today.
I think it is unusual, but it doesn't surprise me because I have been in Lenexa for 20 years and I know the leaders in this community and the governing body members, they do the right things for the right reasons, and they're not afraid to stand up and do what's right. So nothing about this surprises me.
It costs you higher sales taxes. Do I have that right?
Yeah, the community passed a sales tax some years ago that went to fund the recreation center, which is part of this campus, as well as some other recreation improvements through the community.
You know, describe that recreation center, because, again, I just took a tour of it before I got here, but you got a walking track with an incline to it. You got basketball courts. You have a very cool indoor pool complex where, what, you go up on the roof to slide down the slide? Because I would have done that if I would have had time.
Yeah, it's an amazing facility.
I love stuff like that.
Oh, it's so cool. We definitely, folks should come out and take a tour. It's over 100,000 square feet on three levels. We have three full size gymnasiums. As you mentioned, a great indoor pool with two 40-foot high speed slides where you actually go up a set of stairs that takes you above roof level and in the facility and then slide down these curving, winding slides. The
kids love stuff like that.
Oh, they're amazing. They're just really great.
You can jump off something backwards and not know where you're going, and it's a deep pool area or something.
Yeah, there's a deep water well where you can do diving, or there's a climbing wall. So you can climb up the wall, you're way above the water, and then just fall backwards into it. Not anything I'd be interested in doing, but I've seen lots of kids doing it.
I'm not sure I'd want to do that either. Again, there were some obstacles along the way. The city spent more than $500,000 in legal fees when it parted ways with one developer. Then the Great Recession froze development everywhere, including construction on a parking garage that was halted for so long it was finally demolished. Just how damaging was the recession to the city and to the plan you wanted to do here?
Well, you know, it certainly slowed things down, but I think the mayor may have alluded to this earlier. I think that through that time, because the council was committed to what we were doing and because they didn't choose to take the easy way out and just abandon this vision, we were able to continue to think about and work on making this the special place that it is today.
Were some citizens, though, saying, what's going on out there? You're demolishing the early phases of the parking garage to start over again? That's not going to work well with a lot of people.
You know, there was certainly questions about how that had happened. That was a private development interest that ended up going bankrupt, and the city had to end up getting involved in that to kind of resolve those issues, finally get that unfinished structure down. But not a lot, because, again, our community, this is what they wanted, and they wanted us to stand by that vision.
Were public-private partnerships part of the picture all along? And that's a lot of P's in one sentence. Were public-private partnerships part of the picture all along?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we have several development partners here. Copacan Brooks is the master developer of the quadrant of the city center that we're sitting in today, the southwest quadrant. Dennis J. Eske and Associates is a private development partner on the other side of Renner, on the east side there, where we also have some developments. And there's been a lot of other investors along the way from the private sector. So this was very much a public-private partnership and necessary that it be that way.
I mean, you guys couldn't do this if this city was landlocked, could you? You have room to grow here, and it strikes me that's really been a linchpin to everything that you're trying to do.
We actually are landlocked, surprisingly. We can't grow in terms of geographically anymore, but we're only about 60% developed. So yes, you're right. The area that we're in now, we kind of have grown very steadily from east to west, and we're kind of in the middle of the community, and having City Center at this location made sense. There was land here available for it, and so really everything about that made perfect sense to the city.
It's interesting to me because, again, excuse my ignorance, but when I think of Lenexa, I think of Lenexa that I see to the east where your public safety headquarters is. Mm-hmm. I don't think of Lenexa until today as being as far out west as this is, but I've been told over and over again, we ain't that far west. Right in the center of Lenexa, as the mayor said.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lenexa extends far beyond K7 to the west. We go all the way to DeSoto. I wish I could tell you the distance from east to west. I don't know that off the top of my head. But, yeah, we're a long rectangle, so we're in the geographic center, and you've got to drive a long ways before you'll hit our western boundary.
Well, Becky, stick around for a little bit, if you would. I want to talk some more about what's still to come here at the Lenexa City Center site. But before we get to that, let's find out what it's like to work in the new City Hall here. For that, we turn to Emily Semadeni. Am I saying that right?
Yes,
thank you. Pretty good. Legal assistant with the city's legal department. Thanks for coming by. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
How long have you been with the city?
I've been with the city for 17 years.
So you've seen the old and you've seen the new.
Yes.
When did you move to your new offices?
July 31st.
And how do you like it?
We're getting settled in.
Yeah. How different is it from where you came from?
It is quite a bit different. The old building was built in phases, and so we were a little bit separated from each other, the different departments. And our new building, of course, is open and collaborative, and we're a little more technology. We've got that available to us here, and learning the same old routine in a brand new environment.
Were you crowded in the old place? Was it a bit busy and packed?
In different areas, we're more efficient than others.
Yeah, but not as bad as maybe what you had it then, eh?
True.
Okay. You told our producer that moving here was almost like a cultural shift. What did you mean by that?
Like I said, we were a little bit more broken up and separated at our old building,
yeah.
And the new building is open and collaborative, and it is open to the public from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's a completely new environment for us to see people coming and going and enjoying the space. When we're coming into work in the morning, typically people would visit City Hall specifically to get their permits or deal with their business, not come to spend the day.
But they can come all day and hang, and do people sometimes do that?
Yes, I see people going to the rec center in the morning and in the evening and coming down to the public market. This building is alive from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
You mentioned that the new facilities are more open and more collaborative. Is that a good thing? Because sometimes collaboration can drive people a little crazy.
I've always been a cubicle worker.
Yeah.
So I've been out in the
Becky's
open
laughing,
all along.
By the way. Yeah.
And I've always been out in the open, but it is a little bit different. We've got some different acoustics in this building, and we're working out a few bugs still.
And the acoustics, is it, in what sense? Is it you can hear everything? Or
yes. Yes.
Is that a good thing? That strikes me. It could be kind of tricky.
You feel like you're in the middle of it, yes.
Yeah, okay. And so you got a bigger office?
My cubicle is actually a little bit smaller, but some of the departments I work with are paperless, so I don't need as much space.
Oh, that's amazing. What's been the most pleasant surprise you've had working here, Emily?
Being a resident of Lenexa and an employee of Lenexa, it is so cool to see how this developed and how it's taken off and coming to work every day. I wear my Lenexa clothes out in the public. People stop and ask questions about what's going on and what's coming.
What are Lenexa clothes?
Public market t-shirts, September to Remember t-shirts, anything I have that has the Lenexa logo on it. After 17 years, I have many things Lenexa clothes.
All the stuff, yeah.
Yes.
Well, do you go work out after a day at the office, or is this become part of your new lifestyle here?
It is, absolutely. It's fantastic having the rec next door. I also sub Zumba classes for the rec, so I get to be in there as an instructor, and that is such a cool opportunity to be part of their team.
Yeah.
And to also attend it as a member.
I mentioned before, the new place doesn't even smell like sweat yet.
No.
It's like it's too clean. It's got to change. At some point, it's got to change, right?
We've got a great staff that takes good care of that building.
Yeah. And what do you like about it? What are some of the highlights of that building that you've enjoyed the most?
Well, my daughter loves the pool.
How old is she?
She's 13.
Oh, yeah.
And she got to have a birthday party there shortly after they opened, so a lot of her friends hadn't even been there. So that was so cool to share that with a bunch of new teenagers.
And what part of the pool did she like?
Slides,
all that stuff.
No doubt.
Yeah. Did they climb the wall and fall backwards like we heard about?
No, they didn't. You still have to make sure you look fantastically strong and independent when you're 13.
Yeah,
so
it's okay. It's already taken over at that
yes,
age then.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand they're still working out the kinks with the air conditioning, and I'm wondering what's up with that. Is it too hot or is it too cold or what's happening?
It is chilly.
Yeah.
It is chilly in our building.
Are they going to change that at some point?
Oh, they're working on it, absolutely. In a brand new building, I'm learning. I hadn't had the opportunity to work in a brand new building. Not everything works as smoothly as you hope it does when it starts.
So you bring a jacket?
Yes, a Lenexa jacket. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
What else? And are those for sale here somewhere? Can those from Westwood, Kansas buy a Lenexa jacket?
Well, I know you can buy public market t-shirts, and I like Lenexa shirts. I think everyone needs one of those.
Oh, that's good. I also hear the hand dryers in the restroom are not a favorite of yours. Why is that, Emily?
This building will be LEED certified, which is so cool to watch out for our environment. But I'm noticing with the new hand dryers, they're a little noisy. And I would say my office is approximately 150 feet and three walls from the restroom, and I can hear the hand dryers
you
all day long.
You can hear the hand dryers all day long. That's something they've got to get on that. You got to get on that, Becky.
We'll work on that.
Okay. How do you feel about things more closely grouped here, Emily? I mean, it's a short walk for a couple of roastery coffee and where to get exercise class after work. Is that, again, people say they want that these days. Did you want that?
Oh, yes. It was a very cool shift for us. And being this close to the rec center, we've, of course, got Parks and Rec offices in there as well, which helps efficiencies with my workflow. So in addition to personally being able to enjoy these benefits, I'm enjoying them at work as well.
Have you had the tamales yet?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And the coffee cake.
And the coffee cake. Those
yes.
are all big hits, yeah.
Yes.
What's been your favorite thing since you moved over here? What's the thing that you like the most?
Seeing different city staff, the way our building is set up differently. Of course, I've worked with these people all these years, just getting to see them more regularly.
Yeah. Well, that's Emily Semadeni. She's a legal assistant with Lenexa's legal department. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Becky Yoakum, I want to turn back to you for a few minutes we have left here and talk about more about what's here and what's still to come. I'm just wondering, there are businesses that were left behind in Old Town Lenexa, and I'm wondering, what happens to them as they lose traffic to this new town center? They couldn't have been too happy about some of this, or what have you experienced?
You know, I think that there has been some concern that the city not forget about Old Town, which is our original town, the original plat of Lenexa, where it was founded over 100 years ago. But I think that the city has always been very cognizant about that. Old Town is an incredible part of the city and something that's very important to us. So
that's what most people in the metro recognize when they think of Lenexa.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. And I think that will continue to be the case because Old Town's still a very cool place to be, and we still have lots of festivals in Old Town to continue to bring people to that part of the community. And in fact, just last year we conducted a study with some funding we acquired through Mid-America Regional Council to look at Old Town and ways to ensure that it remains vibrant and continues to be a destination for the community.
I was going to say, were there some bad feelings when all the focus of this community came here out west or in the center part of the community? In this new development here, how did that work?
I don't think there were bad feelings per se. I think, again, just folks that just worried that we don't forget about them in Old Town, and we certainly haven't, and we certainly, you know, won't do that. So I think that as long as we remember and continue to focus on Old Town as an important part of the community, these two places, Old Town and Lenexa City Center, will both be, you know, great destinations for the metro.
What kind of growth are you seeing in Lenexa these days when it comes to population? What are you seeing?
So we're one of the fastest growing cities in Kansas, I believe. I'm not going to be able to tell you the exact growth rate, but we were the fastest growing city in the last 10 years in Kansas, and we continue to see growth year over year in the, you know, faster than most of the communities in the metro.
What's all this development going to do to the population of this community? What do you foresee happening?
We, a few years ago, did a build-out study to look at what our population might be as the community continues to build out. And today our population is around 55,000. We think that when we're fully built out, which will probably still be more than 20 years from now, we'll be in 75,000 to 80,000. And a lot of the population growth that we're seeing is happening in Lenexa City Center, but it's also happening out west where we have lots of single-family residential development that's occurring as well.
What kinds of challenges does that kind of rapid population growth pose for, again, a fairly medium-sized community?
You know, I think that we have always been a city that thinks ahead about those kind of things and plans for the police and fire protection that's necessary to protect those residents. We've already talked about the capital improvements that we've invested in, you know, that make sure that we can move traffic efficiently, and we're continuing to always stay on top of those things.
Give us a sense, if you would, Becky, what else we're going to be seeing out here in the years to come, because there's the Civic Campus, there's the Public Market, there's the Lenexa City Center. What else is going to be happening out here from a very macro point of view?
Sure. So you already mentioned that the Johnson County Library will be building a new branch immediately south of where we're sitting today. Shawnee Mission School District is building an aquatic stadium just a little bit to the west of where we're sitting
and
today.
And a new elementary school just a little bit to the west as well, right?
Absolutely. Lenexa Hills Elementary is under construction right now, and they're scheduled to open in the fall of 18. We will continue to see more of the mixed-use development that we've already talked about. The district is under construction across Penrose from where we're sitting, but we've also approved plans for additional mixed-use development on the north side of 87th Street. We have additional single-family detached smart homes that are going to be constructed also on the north side of 87th Street. And our residents will be really happy to know that the council recently gave approval to additional development up at 87th and Renner that is includes a restaurant row. So we'll have at least four new restaurants that'll be under construction soon as well. So lots of things continuing to happen here.
Again, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're coming to you live this morning from the new public market, city market here in Lenexa. A fantastic new development going on that I knew very little about. You were just mentioning smart homes. What's a smart home?
So you are probably familiar
with... Which means my home is probably dumb.
My home is extremely dumb, okay, sadly. Yeah. But there are all kinds of apps that folks are using now to run their doorbells, their thermostats, and they have smart appliances that, you know, you don't have to open the door to look inside and see whether you need to buy milk and all those sorts of things. My understanding is that typically those applications don't always talk to each other. And so the developers of this smart home community are working to develop a whole home system where all of those systems talk to one another, hoping to be very energy efficient but also very high tech. Even the irrigation systems will be smart and you know, not turn on when it's rained and not be shooting into the street or to give alerts if you're doing some of those things. So just generally trying to be greener, more energy efficient, and higher tech.
So what you're saying is if you buy a home in Lenexa, you can buy a home that will have your refrigerator tell you that you're running low on milk.
Yeah, I think that's the goal.
That's a selling point, I
exactly.
think. Yeah. Housing here is focused on renters by choice. What does that mean, and who are these renters, Becky?
So we have seen a lot of multifamily development in the city center area, and folks have a lot of questions about that because it does seem like there's a high density of it. However, that population density is really important to attract the retailers and restaurants that our citizens want. But the type of multifamily residential that's being built in Lenexa is very high-end. There's high amenities in the apartments that we're seeing from really nice finishes like granite, but also things like dog parks and bike shops where you can work on or borrow bikes and all kinds of really cool things. And that means that the rents in those apartments are quite high. And the folks who are renting in these apartments, which are all leasing up really well right now, are paying rents that are high enough that they could certainly afford a mortgage. They just choose not to because of the lifestyle that they're looking for.
Yeah, you don't get a sense that condos are hot anywhere in the metro these days. That's sort of as a fad that seems to have passed a little bit.
Yeah, there's just not much condo market, but we definitely are seeing a market for this high-end residential rental product. It's leasing well, and the folks are really loving it and loving the lifestyle, I think.
You know, the city has been hosting events here continuously since the opening in July. This weekend, Penrose Lane, right next to the public market, will be closed off on Saturday from 4 to 11 for Food Truck Frenzy. This is the same weekend as the Plaza Art Fair. That's kind of a gutsy move, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, our citizens like food, and we've done a series of these Food Truck Frenzy events that have all done really well. This will be our biggest one because it is part of our what we're calling September to Remember. It's our month-long celebration to celebrate the opening of the Civic Campus and to celebrate the realization of the City Center vision. We're going to have over 20 food trucks here. We're also going to have great live music and fireworks at the end of the night to kind of just cap off our month-long celebration. So, yes, it's a busy weekend with the Plaza Art Fair going on, but I think that there's certainly folks who will be happy to be out here in Lenexa celebrating what we've got going on as well.
Well, Becky, I wish you guys the best of luck. Thanks for all your hospitality out here today. I am just amazed by what you guys are doing. I had no idea, and if our listeners probably don't have much of an idea either, they need to come out at some point and check all this out.
So absolutely.
Thanks again.
Thanks, yeah. Steve. We appreciate it.
Becky Yoakum is Director of Community Development for the City of Lenexa, and again, thanks to everybody for all their good hospitality here. Up next, Bill Brownlee with this week's Local Listen. KCUR contributor Bill Brownlee is back with this week's Local Listen. And Bill, how are you?
I'm comfortable in my Lenexa clothes.
I was going to say, we're out here and we need to get some t-shirts and stuff, I think. You want to talk about Molly Hammer?
Yes. You know, I hope that Marilyn May, the 80-something cabaret singer, lives forever. But if someday she passes, Molly Hammer is right there to fill in.
Let's listen to Molly Hammer. This is Listen Here from her new album, Out of This World.
When you're still, do you hear one small voice, crystal clear, saying, listen here, my friend, listen here. Well, that voice is your own, and it speaks to you alone. You can count on me, it says, so listen here. This is you, this is real, this is truly the way that you feel. You can run,
what do you like about this track?
Yeah, I tend to bring you up-tempo material, but Molly excels, I think, on torch songs like this. Her new album, which came out just last Friday, is filled with standards and fast tracks that everyone will know, but songs like this showcase what she does best, which is pour her heart into sensitive, quiet songs.
I've always had a sense that those songs are harder to do than they might seem.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think I could fake it on a fast one.
But the slow ones are something else. Not only is this a new album for Molly Hammer, but it's a debut album as well, right?
That's right. She's firmly established in the theater and nightclub scene here in town, but only now has she put out her first album, and it's highly recommended.
This album is produced by KC Jazz stalwart Joe Cartwright as well. Who else is involved that jazz heads might recognize?
Yeah, that's Joe Cartwright on the piano. But we have Brad Gregory on saxophone, Steve Ragazzi on drums, and the wonderful drummer Todd Strait.
Oh, yeah. Monique Gabrielle Salazar profiled Ms. Hammer this month for KCUR and noted that she's had not one but two bouts of cancer.
Yeah, it's... She has those serious health concerns, but her music overshadows that. When we talk about Molly Hammer, we should talk about her great music, not about the travails she's overcome.
Where can we see Molly Hammer this weekend, Bill?
She plays Friday at the Black Dolphin, which is the new jazz club right next to the Green Lady Lounge.
Yeah.
And she plays Saturday at Repeal 18th. Which is up north of the river next to the airport.
Okay.
Next to the old downtown airport.
Yeah, that's Bill Brownlee talking about Molly Hammer. Bill, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. You can download our podcast, listen to previous programs. Just go to kcur.org/up-to-date. You can find us on Twitter. We're at kcurup-to-date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. And don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook. Tomorrow, a couple explains why they needed a second home to store their KC history. Also meet the author of the Longmire book series. Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, Coy Duggar, and Justin Garnett produce our show. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.